Friend, you may be seated and thank all of you this morning for being here. And it is a great day and certainly a wonderful way to get the new year off to a good start is by being in the presence of God. And we're so glad that all of you have come this morning. Let me get something just a second. We did want to tell you that tonight's sermon, and I hope all of you will be here for this, is entitled, Who Are You Listening To? You know, it behooves all of us, I think, at times to ask ourselves the question, who do I listen to most of all? Do you listen to your friends, your family, maybe your mate? Maybe you ought to be listening more to your wife or maybe to your husband. And but I know one thing, that we ought to be listening to God. And does God still speak? And is it possible for us to hear the voice of God? And I hope that all of you will be here tonight as we reason together on that subject. You know, a lot of us are people who make all kinds of resolutions. This is probably not the best way to deal with it. People are often talking about wanting to lose weight, and that's a good thing. Someone told me the other day that the older you get, it is much more difficult to lose weight. For by that time, your body and your fat have become good friends. And maybe that's true. One man told me the other day that he had gone on a garlic diet. And I said, a garlic diet? He said, yeah. He said, you don't lose weight, but you look thinner from a distance. And maybe that's true. I don't know. You know, a lot of us seemingly think that we're overweight and we have all kinds of issues going on in our life. And we need to make resolutions. I hope that if, you know, and some people say, well, I just don't ever make resolutions. When you say you don't make resolutions, then you're saying, I am content with where I am. I'm not interested in really improving my life. But, you know, every one of us ought to be making New Year's changes in our life. Some of them are very minor, but on the other hand, some are major. There are some real issues that face us every day in our life and changes that need to be made. People live under stress today. We shouldn't have to live under stress. I believe there is a way to overcome that, and with the help of God, we can. Does that look like anybody you know? Maybe it does. I hope it's not you. But I know one thing, that all of us feel like at times we're ready to pull your hair out. You know, I mean, you're just so stressed about the things of life that are going on in your world. I saw this the other day. I thought it was a classic. It's called an anti-stress program. It says, please place your head in the circle, follow directions in the circle, repeat until you are no longer stressed or until you have become unconscious. Now, you may feel that way at times. I felt that way. But I'm going to tell you the best way in the world to deal with your stress, the best way in the world to deal with the issues that are going on in your life, and if you really want to make New Year's resolutions, we all have to be motivated to do better. Motivation is a tremendous thing. And nothing motivates me more than this one passage right here. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, Peter said that we can cast all of our burdens or all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. On my to-do list this year, I plan to enjoy life. Now, I've always done that, but I want to enjoy it even more. Someone asked me the other day, they said, what is your New Year's resolution? My New Year's resolution is to do the best that I have ever done in my life in every area. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life. For some reason or another, a lot of Christians get the idea that we are to have a long face or that we're to look like we've just been sucking on a dill pickle or a lemon or whatever, but you don't have to be that way. Peter said, for he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now, I want you to think about that a moment. You and I have to learn to love life, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. because the Spirit of God says that it is okay. Sometimes our brain becomes so overloaded with unnecessary burdens. Maybe right now, if the truth were known in this audience of people, there are those whose brain is overloaded. It is. You're burdened about a lot of things. Maybe you're like Martha in the New Testament, of whom Jesus said that she is careful and troubled about many, many things. We need to drop the weights that so easily beset us, Paul says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and run the race that is set before us with patience. You and I have a tremendous race in 2018. I said to someone earlier when they walked in the building this morning, we're off on a new year and we're ready. We're ready to meet the challenges, and it's going to be a great, great year. When we look back upon 2017, we had a lot of issues. But you know what? We were able to face those issues, and God blessed us, and I'm convinced that this year will be no different. God will enable us to make the real adjustments that have to be made in our mind. I know one thing, that if we don't make adjustments in our mind, there will be no adjustments in our life. So if you really want to make adjustments in your life, you begin in your mind, because real change comes from within. Listen to the book of Proverbs 23 and verse 7. King Solomon many years ago said that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have a lot of people today in our world that have such a defeatist attitude, and they want to focus on all the bad things that are going on in the world. You listen to the news media. You remember when the media just simply used to give you the news? Now they give you their commentary, and they give you all kinds of fake news. I wish we could just get back to hearing the news, and let's move on to something else. I'm not interested in a litany of information about what people think. No more than people are interested in what I think. You're interested in what the Word of God says when you come to worship. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Life does not have to be monotonous. It doesn't. This looks like people who are getting ready for the death march, or people who are getting up on a Monday morning and they're heading off to work. And they're so unhappy. You listen to people talk. How are you doing on Monday? Oh, it's a Monday. You know what they mean by that? Well, I had to go back to work. I dreaded it. You know what? It is time for us in the kingdom of God to de-stress. And you know what? That's what worship is all about, isn't it? We must attend to the spiritual side of life more than the physical. Let me tell you why that's true. The healthiest people in the world that I've suggested here can't go to heaven without Jesus. They can't. The richest people in the world cannot go to heaven without Christ. The cleanest people in the world will never go to heaven without our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter how clean you are, no matter how rich you are, or how healthy you are, and the neatest people in the world will never go to heaven without Christ. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, Philippians 3 says, I press toward the goal of the prize to which I have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus my Lord. When I think about this pressing onward, that just means I want to keep on going, and I want to stay motivated. You know, the way to lose your weight, stay motivated. The way to stay a spiritual person is to stay motivated. You want to, people, I hope you've resolved to be at every service of the church this year. Because I'm going to tell you something, the church is the key to helping you get to heaven. It is. Now, if you don't believe that, you go back and read what Jesus said about the church. You read what he said about studying the Bible. You read what he said about motivation, and I can tell you it is true. And this morning, I want to share with you three things that we must do every morning. And I'm going to tell you something. If you really practice these three things, you will stay motivated. You will stay motivated. And not only will you be motivated, you will motivate other people by the life that you live. And you will be a candidate for heaven. You will. Just three things. That's not asking too much, is it? Just three things. Just three. Number one, clean up. You know, we all understand the value of cleaning up. How many of you took a bath this morning? Look at the rest of you who did not. You are the ones that I'm talking to. No. You understand what I'm saying. Every one of us understand the importance of cleaning up. I have a ritual every morning. I get up, I brush my teeth, I take a bath, I clean up. I get ready to meet the day. I do. You and I understand the importance of cleaning up. And by the way, I, like Ben, encourage all of you to be sure and wash that germs off your hand when you're into the building out there with that hand sanitizer. And that's a good thing during the flu season, by the way. But we all understand the importance of cleaning up. We adjust our lives by cleaning our heart of anything that is against the will of God. Now, we ought to do it physically. I understand that. But there are times when we need to clean up our lives in a spiritual way. First John 3 and verse 20 says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and God knows all things." Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." One translation says, "Flow the issues of life." But it's important that we keep our heart right to maintain a spiritual heart. But how do we clean up our lives? How do we really go about it? Proverbs 20 and verse 9 says, "Who can say I have made my heart clean, and I am pure from my sin?" Proverbs 23:7 again, "As you think in your heart," it begins there. That's where change really commences. That's where the genesis is, folks, in your heart. Proverbs 14:14, "The backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways." The backslider is an individual who doesn't come to worship. He doesn't give to God. He doesn't seek the lost. He doesn't sing. He doesn't pray. He doesn't read the Bible. He doesn't grow in his walk with God. He's simply satisfied where he is. Proverbs 16 and verse 5, "Everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination unto the Lord." And listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 15:19. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." Listen to that. All out of the heart. That's where it starts. You know why Rome became so evil and corrupt? For Romans 1:21 says it, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." You darken your heart, and I can tell you, you will make no changes, and you will not stay motivated to honor God. You have to give your heart to God and let your eyes, God says, "Keep to my ways." Proverbs 23 and verse 26. Matthew 5 and 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Then I like Colossians 3:23. "For whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart." Someone asked a little old lady who walked on a cane one time, who was almost 100 years of age, how she got to church every Sunday, as crippled up as she was. And she said, "You know what? My heart gets there first." And you know what? You get your heart here, you'll get here. You will. Too many times our heart is on TV. Our heart might be on a little headache. We all have them. Your heart might be on a leg ache. Your heart might be on some issue that is troubling you, and you're more focused on the issue than the one who can deal with your issue. And that's God. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set the Lord where he needs to be." And in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said that you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, not part of it, all of it, and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And as Christians, listen, We have to confess our sins in order to be made clean. For 1 John 1 verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. The book of Job is a tremendous book. I don't know how long it's been since you read the book of Job, but it's a great book. It's a great narrative. It would be a bestseller. The book of Job in chapter 21 describes people who have no happiness and all they live with is bitter hearts. They do. Have you ever noticed how bitter people are today? It's not that they may just disagree with you about certain things. People are bitter. You watch those politicians up in Washington, how bitter they are. And the accusations that they bring against people, attacking families and loved ones and character and mental ability. Do you want bitterness to be your epitaph? Not me. Not me. Bitterness and resentment will send you to your casket prematurely. It will. I've seen people die with bitterness, and I'm going to tell you something. You can almost see it in the facial expression of Ben or whichever funeral home you're going to use. Won't be able to get it off. James 4 and 8 says to draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Acts 2 and verse 38, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't know about you. Jesus said to go and sin no more to a woman in John 8 and verse 11. But she's ready to cleanse her heart. Clean up. But number two, we have to shape up. How many of you are on an exercise program? Anybody? Anybody in here on an exercise program? One little kid. Thank you. God bless you. Would you raise your hand high one more time? I want these people to see who it is. Come on, here we go. You need to be on an exercise program. When you get on the scale and it says one at a time, please, you know that you need to start shaping up. And even though we may be cleaned up, we still need to shape up the old body. It's true. It means that we need to be on some kind of exercise program. We need to start doing something in our life. There needs to be a spiritual fitness training as well. It's important to exercise the body. Paul, however, said that bodily exercise profits very little. But with godliness, there is great gain. We need to start exercising in a spiritual way, exercising our senses to discern between good and evil, the Hebrew writer says. And in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, again, physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding a promise for both the present now and the life to come. People talk about how they want God to guide their steps in the new year. You know what? Don't expect God to do that if you don't move your feet. You have to move your feet. You say, oh, I want God to guide my steps. I want His Word to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. And that's what David says in Psalms 119, verse 105. But you know what? If we don't move our feet, God's not going to, He's not going to guide you. That's why we all need to become more spiritually mature. Spiritually mature. We need to grow up. Many of us who have been baptized into Christ are still in a spiritual kindergarten. We are. Some of us are in early childhood development. We've not really grown as children of God. And sometimes our pump is in a slump. I don't know about you. The doctor will tell you that. Sometimes your physical heart doesn't beat right because you are in a slump physically. But it also happens spiritually. People experience what we call spiritual heart failure. People say their heart's just not in it. Well, if your heart's not in it when you sing, we were singing a moment ago, and David, thank you for a good job. Always does a good job. Dwight and Doug and all of them. But you know what? When we don't lift up our voices to God and when we don't really sing with zeal and enthusiasm and fervor, your heart's not in it. And you're just mouthing words. And we have what we call spiritual heart failure. We walk around with our head hung low. You just watch people today. You watch what they do. Many of them are so down and out, they walk around like that all the time. How many people do you know that walk around with their head up beside me and are zestful for life and living? You know what? People want to focus on comfort foods and life and comfort situations. We don't really want to stretch beyond the comfort. But Jesus in Matthew, the 4th chapter, said that we have to feed on spiritual food and nourishment, didn't he? In Matthew 4, he says, Listen, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I learned something the other day. I don't know if you've learned it or not. But when you're stressed, you eat ice cream, chocolate, and sweets. Do you all do that? Do you eat ice cream when you're stressed out? I found out the reason why. Because stress, spelled backwards, is desserts. Now I understand why. What have you been feeding your spirit lately? Think about it. How do you shape up spiritually speaking? We told you you had to clean up, but you have to shape up. And in Matthew 6:33, one of the ways you do it, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God first. Many people seek the kingdom of God only if it fits into their plan or into their schedule. If they have nothing else to do, they will come to worship. If they have nothing else to do, we will participate in fellowships. We'll come to Monday night for the Master if I don't have something else to do. We'll bring the kids to Bible hour on Sunday night if we don't have anything else to do. One of the best ways for us to shape up spiritually is to exercise ourselves worshiping God regularly. And I'm not trying to ride that issue this morning, but I'm telling you, folks, you come to church to get your battery charged. You come to worship. And when you come to worship, you always feel better. That's why the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says, and on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. They did it because they loved God. They did it because they were motivated to do the right thing. They did it because their heart got there first, and they were doing it to remember Jesus. In Acts 20 and verse 32, Luke records these words, Paul speaking to the elders from Ephesus, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which, here it is, can build you up. The word of God can build you up. Colossians 4:2, the Bible says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devoting yourselves to prayer will make a difference in your life spiritually. How devoted are you to prayer in your life? But then thirdly, clean up, shape up. But here's the third one, folks. Spruce up. Spruce up. And it is like putting frosting on the cake, isn't it? It is. How many of y'all spruce up? Y'all put on any cologne this morning? I hope you put on your deodorant. I think I told you they've come out with a new deodorant. It's called, anybody know what it's called? It's called Vanish. You spray it on, you disappear, and they're wondering where the smell is coming from. Wash your hands frequently. We always say that, but most of us do certain things. You did. I can take a look at you right now. You combed your hair. Those of you that have it. You're wearing a nice dress. Or clothes. Slacks. You put on a dash of cologne. Or perfume. You do all those things to kind of spruce up. Do you know that in the book of Romans 13 and verse 14, the Bible says that we are to clothe ourselves, sprucing up, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with garments of love, garments of kindness, garments of compassion, garments of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15 says, but God be thanks, who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. We need to spruce up our lives with the sweet fragrance of Jesus. It is the frosting on the cake, and that is kindness. Maybe this would be a good time to make any year-end adjustments in your life that need to be made. If not today, when? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? As a Christian, you need to rededicate your life to Jesus and start making an attempt to really live closer to Him. If you're not going to do that today, when are you going to do it? And what are you waiting for? You know, there are all kinds of caution signs every day we see. Beware of tripping. Beware of children. We have those out here in our parking lot. But you know what? The Word of God is a glaring caution to us, isn't it? Be careful. Don't get tripped up in your spiritual life. Proverbs 4:25 and 26, keep your eyes on the path and look straight ahead. It is true that if you are looking at your cell phone or trying to read something, it won't be long that you will either veer to the right or you will veer to the left. That happened to me yesterday. I wasn't reading my cell phone. I had a piece of paper there that I need to look at, and before I knew it, you're on the side of the chunk in gravel, you know. That's why God says, keep your eyes on the path and you look straight ahead. Make sure you're going in the right way and nothing will make you fall. We trip over a lot of objects in the way we do. Isn't it time to remove any object that is causing you to fall from the grace of our Father in heaven? See then, Paul writes, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Our time on this earth is limited. I don't care who you are. Every one of us. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. Our time on this earth is limited. We should make the most of every opportunity that God has given us and understand what the will of the Lord is. Aren't you ready to make your New Year's resolutions this morning? If you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel today by being baptized into Christ. And there is no greater way than to begin the new year than with Jesus. And you know what? I did that many years ago. At the beginning of the year, I became a Christian. Been one ever since. Always will be. Motivated highly. by the will of God and by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who offers hope for a better life and a better year. It's true. We need to exit from the journey right now and be baptized for the remission of sins. This may be your last chance. Oddly enough, it was for some last week, for I conducted two funerals last week, one that had been on the journey for 101 years. 101. But time is counting down. It is. How close are you to God? You don't know what shall be on the morrow. You don't. James chapter 4 says, your life's like a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It is gone. And your heart will beat for the last time. It'll beat, but it will eventually flatline, and it will beat no more. And the end, why, the end will come. And God will say, the game of life is over. It's over. That's why it's time for us to clean up, shape up, and spruce up while God affords us time and opportunity. Dave is going to come and lead us in the song of encouragement and invitation, and we appeal to you by the grace of God to make your calling and your election sure this morning while we stand and while we sing, David.